by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabi Allah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Nurallah. Alhamdulillah. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine. Today we have an interesting topic, a topic that's probably affecting all of us in some way or another, and we need to be very wary of these things that are affecting us and we don't realize that they're affecting us. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that when two people meet each other, and one, they meet each other and recite Durud-e Pak upon each other, then all of the sins, before they separate, then all of the sins are forgiven. So brothers and sisters, whenever you meet each other, give each other salam, whenever you meet each other, recite Durud-e Pak upon each other, and inshaAllah azawajal, your sins are forgiven. What a beautiful, simple way to get your sins forgiven. But again, we need to repent, sincerely repent, for the sins that we have committed. Before we introduce the topic, let's have the talawat of the day, inshallah. That's another thing that we should do every day. We should recite Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and listen to or read the Quran on a daily basis. Let's listen to the Quran. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الله سبحوا له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Mother Channel, we constantly say it, but please make a habit of listening or reading the Quran on a daily basis. If only every day before we leave home, after we've had our breakfast and we're about to leave home and go to work and do whatever duties we do during the day, if only we can make a habit of reading a little bit of the Quran before we leave home, inshallah. And I also make the intention that I will try and do this on a daily basis. If we all make this intention, inshallah, sincerely make this intention, then inshallah will be rewarded for this intention as well. But also, inshallah, if we act upon it, we'll be rewarded as well. Alhamdulillah, the topic that we're going to talk about today, and as I mentioned before, it is a topic that affects every one of us. And that is the essence of greed. Greed is inside us. Greed is part of us. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and the heart is trapped in greed. That it is part of us, it's part of our essence. And so we need to learn how to control that greed. We need to learn what greed is good, and we need to know what greed is bad. Inshallah, we'll talk about greed, and we'll talk about the greed that can cause us harm, and talk about that greed that can benefit us as well. But inshallah, as you know, that every day we have the talawat of the day, then we have the naat of the day. So let's listen to the kalam of the day, inshallah, azawajal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madina ho saamne
دل کی ہے پکار مدینہ تجھے سلام، یہ دل کی ہے پکار مدینہ تجھے سلام، یہ دل کی ہے پکار مدینہ تجھے سلام، آقا کا تو دیار مدینہ تجھے سلام، اور طیبہ دور کیسے اجاگر رہے گا اب طیبہ سے دور کیسے اجاگر رہے گا اب، مشکل انتظار مدینہ تجھے سلام، مشکل ہے انتظار مدینہ تجھے سلام، مشکل ہے انتظار مدینہ تجھے سلام، اور دل سے ہزار بار مدینہ تجھے سلام، دل سے ہزار بار مدینہ تجھے سلام، آقا کا تو دیار مدینہ تجھے سلام، آقا کا تو دیار مدینہ تجھے سلام، دل سے ہزار بار مدینہ تجھے سلام،
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ، we've heard the daily kalam. ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ. Viewers of Madhuri Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and before the kalam we introduce the topic of the day, and the topic is greed. And there are, greed is part of us, greed is inside us in one form or another. And greed can also be very, very destructive. I'm going to give you a parable now. It's narrated in Ayun al-Iqayat, a book that's published by Maktabat al-Madina. In this it says that there lived a strange snake in a house. And this snake, what it would do is, it started laying golden eggs. And the owner became very, very happy. Because although he was aware of the fact that the snake could also be dangerous, the snake could also sting them or bite them, he was also very happy that he was getting a gold egg. And so every day the snake would lay a gold egg. And one day what happened was, the snake, it stung the goat. They had a little goat, a baby goat, and it stung the goat. And as a result of stinging the goat died. Now the family, they became worried that, you know, today it stung the goat and the goat's died. That means that its venom is poisonous and it can kill. Maybe tomorrow it will sting us. Maybe, you know, we'll be affected by it. But the husband and the wife, there was a small family, husband, wife and a child. The husband and the wife spoke to each other and thought, well, you know, the amount that we're making every day, the gold that we're getting every day is more than the value of the goat. So why should we worry? We can buy more goats. It's not an issue. So time went by and they were happy hoarding all this wealth that we're getting with the golden egg. And then one day it came out and it stung the donkey. And it stung the donkey, and the donkey instantly died. So again, they panicked amongst themselves and thought to themselves that, look, this is serious now, this is dangerous. Yeah. But then the greed for wealth overcame them again, and they thought, you know, it's a donkey. Yeah. We'll just make sure we take care, we don't go near the snake, and hopefully it will be okay, and it won't be an issue. And we're getting these golden eggs every day. So, okay. So again, time passed by. And this time, the time passed by, and nearly 2 years, and the gathering, and as more and more time gets by, then you become more and more complacent and less concerned. And then what happened was, the snake came out one day, and it stung the servant. And the servant passed away. Now, the poor slave, when he had this, he was screaming and writhing in pain, and he passed away. And the woman now said to her husband that, look, everyone that this snake has stung, has passed away. And so then they're thinking, you know, what do we do about it? What should we do? What should we do? Should we kill the snake? Should we do this to the snake? What should we do? And many days passed. And again, you know, the greed for wealth, all they kept on seeing was the golden eggs. And then they forgot about it. And then what happened was, one day the snake came out and it stung the son. And the son died instantly. So now they were convinced. Now they were convinced that, look, it is too much now. It is serious now, and you know we cannot do anything now. This is going to kill us all. And so they decided that they were going to kill the snake. But the snake heard this, and the snake went and hid in a hole. And so for a long period of time, yeah, neither have they killed the snake, and neither are they getting the golden eggs. And they become anxious about this, that the snake is definitely here, but we're not getting the golden eggs, and we're not in a position to kill it. So then what happens is one day they decide to smoke out the snake. And as they smoke out the snake comes out, and it comes out and there are golden eggs there as well. And again, the greed overcomes both the husband and the wife. And they take the golden eggs, yeah? And they think, okay, let's see what happens now. And then one day, that same snake comes out and it now stings the wife. And she screams in agony. And the husband tries to give us an antidote, tries to give us something, but ultimately, she passes away as well. So now the husband, he's all alone. He's lost everything that he's got now. All he's got is this golden eggs. He then goes and tells his friends and family, because prior to all this, amongst the family, he said to them, don't tell anybody about this. So now he goes and tells his friends and family, and they seem to look, you've made a huge mistake. Yeah? You should have killed the snake on the first day. You've been overcome by greed. Forget this. Kill the snake. Do whatever it takes to kill the snake. Because if you do not kill the snake will kill you. So he goes home, and he goes home with this firm intention now that he's going to kill the snake. And he lies in ambush, yeah, waiting for the snake to come out so he can kill the snake. And the snake comes out, and as the snake comes out, it lays pearls, rubies, like a diamond type stone, a precious stone. And the man, he thinks to himself that, you know what, this snake has changed. Instead of laying golden eggs, it's now laying, you know, precious diamonds. So maybe the snake has changed, because the nature of the changes, the snake has changed. It's not laying golden eggs. So the nature of the snake has changed, and maybe it's no longer poisonous. So he decided then to take these precious stones now that the snake was laying every day. But ultimately what happened, and I think you know what happened. Ultimately what happened one night, he's in his bed and asleep, and he opens his eyes and the snake is there in front of him. And the snake bites him as well. And he's writhing around in pain, and he's screaming and shouting. As a result of that, his fans and his family come, and he's still in agony in this pain. And he digs out all the wealth that he has collated, and he gives it to his friends and family. And they say to him, look, this is of no use to you at all now. This wealth that you've greed, that you've had, it has no use of you to you at all. And in agony, this person passes away. Viewers of Mother Channel, this is greed. But when you have greed for wealth, you forget what's happening around you. You only have this tunnel vision, and you don't realize the effects that this greed has had. This person, he lost first a goat, he then lost a donkey, then he lost a servant, then he lost his son, then he lost his wife, and ultimately he lost his own life as well. And why? Because of greed. All of this because of greed. And regarding I remember before the break, I mentioned an ayat of the Quran, and Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and the heart is trapped in greed. And we are told with regards to this that greed is an essential part of the heart, because it has been created in the very same way. And so this greed is inside us. You know, greed can be not only related to wealth. Greed actually means a more desire for anything. You know, we talked here that it's a desire for wealth, but people can have a greed for other things as well. People can have a greed for status. People can have a greed for power. People can have a greed for food, for clothing, for house items. People can have a greed for cars or whatever it is. And therefore, your desire for more wealth can be called greedy, but also your desire for all these other things can be called greedy as well. And this greed for all of these things, whatever they are, be it greed for, I don't know, let's say greed for having nice cars, most cars, better cars, more cars, it takes you away from the ultimate purpose of your life, to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, the ultimate purpose of your life, to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the ultimate purpose of your life, to do those deeds that enable you to enter paradise. And what happens is you become blinded. You become blinded by the dunya, become blinded by all these things, and what happens is you just want more. And then you never have enough. You know, how much do you need? How much do you need? There was once an incident, I remember reading this as a young child in school, that it was a story about how much land does a man need? And there was this king, and he had four sons. And he said to his four sons one day that, you know, I'm coming to the end of my life, and obviously I want to distribute the kingdom. I don't want to give it to one of you. I just want to distribute it amongst you. And my kingdom is vast, right? So he gets his four sons, and he says to them that we are here now. And he says to one of his sons, you go this direction, the other one, you go this direction, the other one, you go this direction, the other one, you go that direction. And go as far as you wish. Yeah, travel as far as you wish. And however far you go, that land is yours. That land is yours. The only condition is that you need to be back here by sunset. You need to be back here by Maghrib. So go as far as you wish. So they all got on their horses and they traveled as fast as they could, and they traveled and traveled and traveled. And the king sitting there waiting for his sons to return. Salatul Zuhr happens, the time for Zuhr appears, his sons are not there. The time for Asr appears and his sons are not there. The sun begins to set and his sons are not there. And after the sun sets, he looks around and he sees that none of his sons have returned. Why? Because they're trying to get a little bit more, get a bit more, get a bit more, get a bit more. I can get more and still get back from Maghrib. I can get more and still get back from Maghrib. But this, again, viewers of Madinah Sham, this is a story for us that, you know, trying to get more, but not attaining your ultimate goal. What have you achieved? Nothing. Ultimately, you've achieved nothing. You've tried to achieve more, but you've achieved nothing. And there's a story there for us, viewers of Madinah Sham, that in this dunya, we're trying to achieve more, but ultimately we'd have achieved nothing. Because ultimately we're trying to achieve the akhirat, but by doing this, we're achieving nothing. Now, I'm not going to say to you here today that it is haram to make money. It is haram. I'm not going to say to you it's haram to have businesses, have land, have all these things that we mentioned, have clothes, have all these things. I'm not going to say it's haram to. But what I am saying to you is by going after them things and making you blind of your ultimate purpose in this life, that is damaging you. That you run after that land, you're trying to change as much land as you can. And ultimately what happens is, in this story of the four sons, what did they achieve? Ultimately they achieved nothing. Ultimately they got no land because none of them got back in time for Maghrib. And there again is a message for all of us. Viewers of Madinah Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and Alhamdulillah, we have daily segments as well. And we have a daily reminder. And again here, what is the Rise and Shine program? The Rise and Shine program is trying to remind you, to make you reflect, to make you think, to make you act upon these. And like we said before, we have these daily stories that we tell you, but these stories, viewers of Madinah Channel, these stories are not just there to entertain you. I'm not here to tell you a nice story, yeah? That you can go to your friend, oh, I heard a nice story on Madinah Channel. Said, no. The whole purpose of these parables, the whole purpose of these stories is to think to yourself that, you know, this person, he was affected by this, am I affected? This person, as a result of this, he achieved nothing, am I going to do that? And reflect on yourself and make sure that whatever we talk about, that can we take benefit from these stories? Can we take benefit from the daily reminders? And that's why we have a daily reminder. So let's now go to The daily reminder of the day, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Ali Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our daily reminder. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, this is such an important reminder, and every reminder is an important reminder. But today, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, I brought you a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Salam is a very important part of our beautiful religion. Salam is where you are giving dua to the other person. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, salam, where does it originate from? Where did it start from? Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, he was ordered by Allah azza wa jal that, oh Adam, go and give salam, greet, and go and see the group of angels that are in paradise. Give them salam. Whatever reply they give you will be the greeting of your children, yani for the nation. So Adam alayhi salatu wa salam went and he said, assalamu alaikum, and the angels replied with, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And that was then made as a formal greeting for the humans. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we are lucky that today this is the greeting of Islam. This is the greeting for the Muslims. Whenever we meet with one another, we all say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But what do you say? What do you mean by saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? The scholars, they say that this is a dua that you are giving to that person. You're giving the dua of happiness, of salamti, that you are free from, you know, you are free to worry about that I'm going to do any harm to you because I've just given you salamti, I've given you salam. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, it's a very important part of our life that whenever we meet with someone, we always greet them according to the Islamic greeting, which Amir Ahl Sunnah has mentioned many times and he's even taught us practically on Madani channel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then the other person who listens should reply with, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Meaning that if someone gives you salam, say something better to them. A better reply for that. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, there is no better reply than giving salam to another person. Today you see a lot of people, sadly, you know, we can see that they're away from the deen, from the teachings of Islam. They might greet with one another, hello, hi. These don't mean anything. But when you are giving salam, just imagine how many du'as, how many blessings that you are giving to that person. And if you're the first one, yes, if you're the first one to greet someone, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that Allah azza wa jal writes 90 blessings for you. And when someone replies, he gets the 10 blessings. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, what's better, to wait for someone to give you salam or to give them salam first? Obviously, a rightly minded person will always give salam first because he needs them good deeds. We all need the good deeds that we can gather in this world while we're still alive, because when we're dead, when we leave this world, you won't be able to do anything yourself. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, mighty Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, make it a habit to give salam. Either you know someone, you don't know anyone, even if that person is younger than you, don't be having that thought that he's younger than me, he should be the one giving salam to me. No, as a Muslim, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's sunnat is, he would always give salam. Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis-e-Delvi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he writes in his book that even now, when you go to the blessed mazar, the Rozai Park of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before you enter the secret chambers, you go near the golden grills, always think, and it is a guarantee that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give you salam first. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, let's try to revive this sunnah. Whenever you're picking the phone up, whenever you go into a room, whenever you go home, whenever you meet someone outside, at work, in colleges, in universities, at home, at work, wherever we are, we're going to try to revive this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah azza wa jal, you've heard what the reward is. Now, the seriousness of giving salam. If you don't give salam, someone gives you salam and you don't reply back to them. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says, it is wajib, it is necessary for someone, if you have heard his salam, then you must give an answer back to him. It is wajib. If you don't, then you will be held responsible, you'll be a sinner, and you have to do tawbah, and then, you know, the sin will be forgiven. But Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we're not even going to go to that extent. Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. We love the Muslims. Whatever good we have, inshallah, we need to share that. And just imagine, when we are sharing happiness, when we are sharing salam, salamti amongst the world, this is what Islam is about. Islam is about peace. Islam is about, alhamdulillah, happiness. Islam is about helping one another. Alhamdulillah, we get so many calls. Every day you'll get so many calls. Now when you pick up the phone, some people have a habit of saying, hello. Hello doesn't mean anything. So inshallah, next time, whenever someone rings you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward us, and may Allah Azza wa Jal give me and all of us the ability to take this daily reminder and make it practical, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. A very interesting and apt reminder there from Hafiz Rafakat al-Muballigh here, mashallah, in the UK. And I think that was recorded probably a couple of weeks ago. And as he said there, at that particular time, there was only a few deaths. But unfortunately, the situation has gone worse around the world now. So we need to be very, very careful and take all the precautions that we need to take. Make sure that all of us, we have the hygiene. And, you know, before we come here into the studio, we have the sanitizers, and the brothers here, the technical staff, are wearing the gloves and they have the masks as well. And we need to take these precautions and only leave the home when necessary as well. And unfortunately, this is happening. But when the lockdown started, and we had a voice video call with Nigrani Shura, we had a little social media page and we were talking to Nigrani Shura. And Nigrani Shura said that, you know, if the lockdown had happened 10 or 15 years ago, then in one way it would have been a good thing. And we thought, well, why? Because now, alhamdulillah, we have social media, and because of social media, we can carry on spreading the deen. And alhamdulillah, here in the UK and all around the world, I see every day on the social media pages that, you know, Dawah Islami in Australia, Dawah Islami in Canada, Dawah Islami in Africa, they're having social media events where they're having dars every day, Quran teaching every day, courses are being taught every day. And so I thought to myself that, you know, it's good in one way that the virus happened now, so at least we can continue to spread the deen. But Nigrani should have had another look at it, and he said, yeah, you are right in one way. He said, but now, when you are in lockdown, when you are in your homes, if you stay in your homes, then you cannot commit sins. But unfortunately, this now has allowed people to commit more sins, because now they're sitting at home, right? They're not going to be reading the Quran, they're not going to be reading books, they're not going to be going them daras. I only wish that all of them do, but the majority of them are going to be on this all day long, scrolling up and down and committing all sorts of sins. So maybe, you know, it's something that we need to reflect on. That are we committing all sorts of sins? And the sins that we're probably committing the most at the moment are the sins of indecency. The sins of looking at those things that we should not be looking at. The sins of losing our shame, losing our haya. You know, and I know it's slightly going off the topic, but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you lose your haya, then do whatever you want. Meaning that if a person has no shame, and he will do whatever he wants. Because, you know, when you've got no shame, then you're not concerned about what people will say. You're not concerned about what the pious people will say. You're not concerned about what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will think. You're not concerned about what Allah azza wa jalla will be. Why? Because you have no shame. And people that have no shame will end up committing all sorts of sins. And this bihayai, looking at indecent things, looking at indecent pictures, looking at indecent, watching indecent films, watching indecent dramas. You know, people during, fortunately, rather than set himself a target that every day I will read one chapter of the Quran, yeah, they set themselves a charter. Every day I watch two parts of this drama, I watch two series of this drama, and they'll try and increase it. I'm watching three parts. And they proudly say, oh, yesterday I watched one part of that drama, today I watched two parts of that drama. Tomorrow I'm going to try and watch three parts of it. I'm going to build myself up. What are you building yourself up to? What are you building yourself up to? If only you could build yourself up that during this time period, you know, people during this period, they say, oh, yesterday I watched one film. Today I'm going to try and watch two films. I'm going to watch three films a day. What are you doing? Viewers of Madani Channel, please reflect on your current state. Reflect on what is happening. You know, doing the dua is one thing, and inshallah, azza wa jalla, Allah will protect you. But at the same time, when we do dua, that Allah protect us from these things, at the same time, we need to do something. Yeah? We need to do something as well. You know, they say that, you know, trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, but at least tie your camel first. Yes, do the dua. Ya Allah, save us from the sins of our tongue, save us from the sins of our body, save us from all of these sins, save us from all of these things that can affect us. But ya Allah, at the same time, I need to do something. I need to stop committing them sins that I commit with my hands. I need to stop committing them sins that I commit with my eyes. I need to stop committing them sins that I commit with my ears. I need to stop committing them sins that I commit with my whole body, wherever I go and whatever I do. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with hands. But what do you do with them hands? Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with eyes. What do you do with them eyes? Think to yourself that Allah has blessed me with his eyes. What do I do with these eyes? Do I use them to have, I'm talking about greed now, have the greed for more good deeds? Or do I use them to have the greed for more sins? Just think to yourself, if you were to close your eyes, just close your eyes for 30 seconds and think to yourself that, you know, this blessing that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave me is such a great blessing. If this blessing was taken away from me, then how would I live? If this blessing of hearing was taken away from me, if this blessing of speaking to you was taken away from me, if this blessing of being able to walk, alhamdulillah, we all came into the studio today. Every one of us, we walked up the stairs, came into the studio, alhamdulillah. We are lucky that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with this health to do this. But at the same time, what are we using this health for? What are we using these hands for? What are we using these eyes for? What are we using this tongue for? What are we using these ears for? We're there, we're running after the dunya. And in the same way that them horsemen, them forces, they ran after the dunya, and what did they achieve? Nothing. They achieved absolutely nothing. And maybe we're committing all of these sins. And whenever you are in a problem, the first place you need to look for the solution is in the mirror. Look in the mirror and think to yourself, look, is there anything that I'm doing? Don't say, oh, it's his fault, it's because of him that I'm in this situation, it's because of him that I'm in this situation. What about you? What about you? And think to yourself that, you know, what have I done to put myself in this situation? What have I done to bring this upon myself? You know, I must have done something. And we need to reflect on that and we need to think. We're going to go to the hadith of the day, inshallah, azawajal. And inshallah, azawajal, after the hadith of the day, I'll try and come back to the original topic that we were discussing and try to talk about that a little bit more. So let's listen to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, in today's hadith, we're going to learn a dua that the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would make very often. And this dua is something that we can implement in our day-to-day activities, in our day-to-day lifestyle as well, and try to memorize this dua as well. The hadith is mentioned in Sunan Abi Dawood that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would make this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wal-nifaqi wa-su'il akhlaq, which means that, O Allah, I seek protection from you from disunity, hypocrisy, and evil character. So if you try to memorize this dua as well, implement this and try to recite this whenever we supplicate in the court of Allah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wal-nifaqi wa su'il akhlaq. And from this dua we can understand that disunity, hypocrisy, and evil character are traits which are bad. They are something which is bad in Islam, something that we should try to avoid. And Islam is a way of life. Islam teaches us how to live life at its full. And that is by not having disunity amongst our family members. Unfortunately, today we see that many families, they have family discord and brothers are not speaking to their own brothers. Sisters are in discord with their own sisters. There's issues going on in the family, domestic abuse, these type of problems. And Islam is completely against that. Islam encourages that we unite the family, that we unite people, that we join and mend relations and not break off ties with anyone. In terms of hypocrisy and evil character, this is things which are even known to be bad amongst even people who are non-believers, people who are non-Muslim. They also accept the fact that hypocrisy and having an evil character is something which is bad. And Islam came to remove this illness of evil character, remove this illness of hypocrisy, and make people become good human beings, good citizens, people who are civilized and people who bring goodness to the community. So we as a Muslim, inshallah, try to make a benefit towards the community, a good impact, a positive impact through one's character, through one's akhlaq, the way he deals with people, the way he looks at people, the way he talks to people. They should all be on a very just and civilized manner, something that people are attracted towards. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, a very interesting reminder from Habib Madani, MashaAllah. He's one of our graduates from Jamatul Madina here in the UK, MashaAllah. He graduated from here, from the Jamatul Madina in Bradford, where we have our Jamaat al-Madinas. What is Jamaat al-Madina, viewers of Madinah channel? Jamaat al-Madina is that institute where the Islamic scholars are created, and it's a 6 or 7 year course. I think it's a 6 year course at the moment, and the students study every day. They have residential there as well. But unfortunately at the moment, the current situation is that all of our students are at home, but they are being taught from home as well. So this is just one of our graduates, alhamdulillah. And again, another beautiful hadith that is also a reminder for us, that he taught us there at Dua, but he also said to us that the things that we are being afflicted by. And one of the things he mentioned was the breaking off relations with each other, which again is something that inshallah we will talk about one day, but it's very important that as Muslims, we need to maintain our relationship with our family, with our relatives as well. And again, you know, I know it's going off slides off topic, please forgive me, but it was very apt that, you know, when you reflect on this and think about this, then, you know, we break relationships for no reason whatsoever. For something small, something insignificant, or they didn't invite me to the wedding, or they didn't, you know, send me a card, or they didn't give me a proper invitation, or, you know, when I had a happiness in my family, they didn't come, or when there was a sadness, they didn't come, or whatever it was. And, you know, people, two brothers might not speak to each other for 15 years, but then same two brothers that don't speak to each other for 15 years, when they hear that one of them has passed away, then they're shedding tears, you know? You know, viewers of Mother Channel, reflect on this, you know, and forgive each other and learn to make relationships with each other. We're talking, and I know I do apologize, we'll keep on being off the topic of the day, but it's the fact that, you know, we have these beautiful reminders and beautiful hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we need to think about. We've got one mashallah message. Mashallah, it's our brother from Malawi, mashallah. He's watching every day, Arayan Nadimo from Blantyre, Malawi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He said, mashallah, very effective story. The family lost their lives and their goat and the donkey and their servant all passed away, all because of one thing, i.e. greed. And he also, mashallah, said, mashallah, the reminder, the remainder of the day, the dua that we learned, inshallah, we brothers are going to try to pray this dua every single day, inshallah, azza wa jalla. And again, we've said this before, that when we tell you these stories, we need to learn from the lessons from this story as well. And mashallah, the brother has made the intention that he will learn that dua and he will recite that dua every day. So if all of us learn the duas, and this again is the beauty of the environment of Dawat Islami. Today in one and a half hours, the program that we have of Rise and Shine, today inshallah, you know, hopefully we'll learn something about greed. Hopefully we'll learn a couple of duas, inshallah, as well. But just think to yourself, if you traveled in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, if you traveled in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal and you spent 3 days and three nights in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, you traveled in a Madani Kafla and spent 3 days and three nights in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Number one, you would read your namaz 5 times a day. And number two, that you would learn so much. And what are these Madani Kaflas? This is where the brothers travel, they stay in a masjid, and in that time in the masjid, they learn things. They learn the du'as that we've, some of the du'as that we've mentioned today, and they learn other du'as as well. They learn how to check your ghusl, check your wuzu, learn your namaz, learn to recite the Quran, and many, many other things, and talk take place as well. Study circles take place as well. And inshallah, during that period of time, you can learn so much. So viewers of Mother Channel, I'm again requesting, especially all the brothers, not only here in UK, but all around the world, and especially our beautiful brothers that are watching from Africa as well, that wherever you are, make the intention that when the doors of the masjid are open, when we get past this lockdown situation, then Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I make a sincere intention that I will travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not just 3 days, but 3 days every single month. Make an intention, inshallah. 3 days every month. 12 days every month. 30 days. Some people travel for 30 days. And here in the UK, we had a Madani Kafla that traveled for the whole year as well, inshallah Azza wa Jal. We have the segment, the fruit of the day. So let's go and listen to the segment on the fruit of the day and the benefits of this particular fruit. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The pomelo fruit, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, something many of you would have never heard of. It is a citrus fruit that has a number of health benefits for each and every single one of us. Health benefits of the pomelo include its ability to boost the immune system, yes, normal, improve digestion, yes, normal for fruits, lower blood pressure, reduce cramping. This is not normal, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. It may also help reduce signs of premature aging. Yes, and it helps weight loss, it boosts oral and dental health. Pomelo is considered a citrus fruit and it is closely related to grapefruits. Now, its scientific name is Citrus maxima. It's called this because from amongst these citrus fruits, this is the largest one of them all. The closest in size to these kind of citrus fruits is the grapefruit. Pomelo is primarily found in Southeast Asia, which is its native region. It has not become popular in other parts of the world. Why? Because it typically takes 8 years to grow before the seed can begin to flower and even bear any fruit. Also, much of the weight and the volume of this pomelo is tough and inedible, while only the inner flesh is palatable. The taste of pomelo is quite pleasant, with the consistency of grapefruit, however, without the tart or the tangy flavor. This fruit is usually pale green or yellow in color, so a bit to the side from the orange, while the edible flesh inside is pulpy and white, pink, or red, depending on the variety. The reason that this is so popular amongst not us Madi viewers, but in Southeast Asia, is because it has so many vitamins, minerals, and organic content, such as vitamin C, potassium, dietary fiber, vitamin B6, and magnesium. Yes, it boosts immunity, it aids in digestion, it regulates blood pressure, it is good for weight loss. But as I mentioned, that this also prevents cramping. Yes, potassium is important for the fluid balance in our bodies. It is a key aspect of muscle cramping and stiffness. Without proper levels of potassium, you will likely face cramps and become susceptible to pulled muscles and torn ligaments. Luckily for us, pomelo supply a good amount of potassium content, which can help achieve this health goal. This also improves bone health, yes. Another boon of adequate potassium is that it can aid in preventing osteoporosis. Potassium intake has been connected to bone mineral density as it helps to facilitate the uptake of other essential minerals for keeping our bones strong. Eat pomelo, also give it to your children. It also improves wound healing. Yes, why? Because high vitamin C content has been shown to help replace dead tissue with healthy tissue, and it promotes wound healing. Pomelo fruit contains vitamin C, much of it. Obtaining adequate amounts from this fruit and other fruits also promotes the development of collagen, which makes the skin more flexible and fastens up healing. So the high levels of minerals, potassium, vitamin C, vitamin A, etc. in this fruit, on the downside, on the negative side, can also make it hazardous for patients with liver and kidney conditions. Also, patients with hypertension must speak with a healthcare professional as pomelo lowers the blood pressure significantly. So eat pomelo, but also first consult your doctor. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, you just watched the segment, The Seasonal Fruit. And without doubt, you know, they say in this country, and inshallah, we've got Dr. Saab, inshallah, on the line. He will also agree with me. And if I'm saying wrong, he will disagree that you should try and eat fruit on a regular basis. And alhamdulillah, the seasonal fruit, the fruit that is produced at that particular time in the year, then inshallah, azawajal, you need to benefit from that as well. So we've got Dr. Saab with us, mashallah, as well. If Dr. Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Dr. Saab, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
MashaAllah. Dr. Saab, we just watched a segment on seasonal fruit. Before we talk about anything else, I've been asked in my ear if we can mention the benefits of actually eating fruit. If you can give us some benefits of eating fruit, and then we'll talk about the topic of the day, inshallah.
Inshallah. So I think that is one of the things which we really need to focus a lot more on, and that is the fruits and vegetables. So, I mean, the benefits are just immense. So if you look at all the requirements for vitamins, minerals, and especially what we call trace elements. So that includes things like zinc, manganese, selenium. So they are critical for good health, particularly if you look at things like people complain about hair fall or skin problems. A lot of those actually need regular replenishment of these trace elements. And one of the best resources for that is fruit. And that's why, especially in the UK and around the world, people would have seen this sort of move to get people to eat five a day. So it doesn't mean that, you know, we should stop at five. I mean, if somebody could replace most of their diet with vegetables and some fruits, that's even better. Even 10 a day is good. But I think five a day was really just to try and get people to, you know, in that mode. And instead of, you know, consuming too much processed food and the super saturated fats, actually having fruits, it's much, much better.
Oh, sure. Doctor, so today the topic of the day is greed. And we started talking about greed at the beginning of the program. If you can give some advice to the people that are watching.
So I think a great topic. And I thought when I heard about greed, and it just reminded me of this incident which happened to me at workplace, and I think there is a lot for all of us to learn. So, you know, so when I speak to sort of brothers and people, alhamdulillah, through the environment of Dawat Islami, you know, you see that people think that, you know, we are in 21st century. You know, this is the epitome of the human growth, of advancement, of development. And, you know, we are living, especially, you know, in the Western world, a lot of people might think, well, we're living in a first world nation, and we have, you know, we have all the facilities, the technology is advancing and all of that. And in that, you know, sort of the context, what we forget is that it is still humans on the end of the day. And those emotions, if they are negatively directed, then wherever we are, you know, whether 21st century or the best workplace, we still at risk of these attacks from our nafs and shaitan. So the anecdote I wanted to share was that, so here I'm talking to one of the directors at one of the institutions I work, you know, university teaching hospital, a big director who earns over £150,000 a year. And, you know, just as a sort of social talk, I said, how are you? And he said, oh, you know, my mom has rheumatoid arthritis. So that's my, you know, it's my specialty. And I said, oh, well, you know, so how is she doing? And, well, you know, things have improved a lot. And actually, the treatments nowadays are so effective that people can lead near normal lives. So, and I said that, And I guess I was expecting that he would, you know, sort of agree with me and say, yes, I also wish that my mom get better. And this person, you know, in this, one of the key roles in the organization, he turns around and say, oh, well, I think she's just eating my inheritance. And I know I was shocked. I just didn't know, you know, how to respond to that. And I said, you know, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, in old days, you know, 20 years ago, there was no treatment. So we used to see these people getting disabled and then dying. And I guess it is good to have all of this. But, and he was making light of this comment. And he said, yes, so the longer she lives, the more of what I would have got, she's eating. So this is the level of greed which exists in our society. That for our own mom, and coming from not somebody, you know, who is living on 10,000 or 8,000 pounds a year, you know, I think 150,000 pounds plus in this first world country. And the element of greed is such that, you know, he's waiting for his mom to go so that he can reap the benefits of the inheritance. You know, this is the state of greed. And this is a person who works in NHS, who's actually seeing people dying all around him. And still, that doesn't bring that message of our mortality, of the fact that, you know, this could be us tomorrow, yes, today. But, you know, but still have got these, you know, these huge hopes and, you know, and the greed, you know, that's for their own money, but actually for their own parents, you know, at the expense of them passing away. So I wanted to, you know, just, you know, I guess, you know, for our reviews of Madani channel, you know, so that this is the state of our society. This is where we are living. So it doesn't matter, you know, how far we have come and what we have achieved as humanity and the growth and all of that. If we haven't achieved emotional growth, if we haven't achieved societal growth, you know, if we haven't achieved all these basic standards of humanity, which our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, you know, explained to us where our deen, our Islam, our Quran teaches us, then we've achieved nothing. And that's why I think we need this environment of Dawat-e-Islam, which keeps us close, which, you know, this is why, you know, when we, you know, when you're talking about this topic, people think, oh, well, you know, I'm not greedy. I pay my dues and I pay my zakat and I do this. But it is that hidden greed which we need to worry about. And here, you know, we are eating hundreds of thousands of pounds and, you know, gold and silver or whatever. And still, you know, we are not full. Still, we want more.
You know, Dr. Saab, what amazed me about that, scared me, in fact, regarding that story that you told me, the doctor, was that, you know, that when someone passes away and we go to the namaz-e janaza, and after the namaz-e janaza, we make a line up and we look at the person that's passed away. And we reflect, and it makes us think to us that, you know, that person that is there, that person's calling out to us that today I'm here, tomorrow you could be there. And we go there to pay our last respects, but we also go there to reflect and to think that this could be us tomorrow. And what happens is you see people that, you know, whilst they're leaving the masjid or they're leaving the namaz janaza, they're thinking about, they have that feeling of Allah inside them, and they you know, they make these intentions that I'm going to sort myself out, I'm going to read my namaz, I'm going to do this. And some do and some don't. But for that few moments of time, that dead body in front of you affects you. But in this particular case, that doctor, all day he's probably seeing death is all around him, death is everywhere, and yet still he's blinded by the sin of greed, that it's not seeing this death and not reflecting on the fact that he's going to pass away as well. That was the scariest part for me.
Absolutely. So that's what I'm saying. You know, so this is, even in this current, and, you know, as you said, within NHS, and sometimes I give that example, like, you know, when people talk about, you know, I've got these aims and this is what I want to build and this is where I want to see in 5 years and 10 years and 20 years. And, you know, I sometimes, you know, think to myself, and sometimes, you know, depending on the context, I even say to them, I said, well, then I invite you to come along to my Monday morning ward round. Let me show you that 17-year-old who would never speak again in his life because of this rapidly deteriorating neurodegenerative condition. Or see that person, you know, that 23-year-old with stroke whose mind is playing such tricks on him that even though his left hand is attached to him, and you ask him, where is your left hand? And he says, I don't know. It is somewhere there. You know, so we think that, you know, this is just old people and, you know, we'll all get old and we'll have plenty of time. You know, then, you know, the hospital is a great place for Ibra. And you're right. Mm. And despite that, people don't pay any heed.
I think I remember, I cannot remember where I read it or who said it, but someone said that if you want to learn how to bring shukr inside you, you know, then go and visit a hospital and see the patients in the hospital, and inshallah, that will bring the shukr inside you that you learn to thank Allah Azza wa Jalla and fear Allah Azza wa Jalla if you visit a hospital. And I think that's very apt that we need to think about this. And maybe, alhamdulillah, you are seeing it every day and that's what's protecting you. But clearly from what you said is that people that see these incidents every day are still blinded and still not affected by this. And in the case of that doctor, I'm still overcome by that incident, that even that he's seeing these people that are ill every day, he's seeing these people that are affected by all these illnesses every day. He's mentioning that his parents have got a certain illness, but he's not thinking of the fact that I could also get that illness, I could get any other illness, because he is aware of, you know, me as a non-medical person, I'm probably aware of half a dozen diseases, but he will be aware of thousands. And he doesn't have that fear that, you know, that Allah Azza wa Jalla could give him this illness anytime, Allah Azza wa Jalla could take his life away from any time, and his only concern is the fact that he's losing out on his inheritance. I mean, that is a very sad state of affairs. And then, you know, maybe the situation that we're facing today is because of the sins that we have committed. And this sin of greed is overtaking us that, you know, we're blinded to everything.
So, absolutely. So, I mean, so in this current context, if I, you know, again, give an example of, you know, of this virus. So you see this, you know, young, healthy, fit person. And yes, the numbers are small, but still, you know, if you wanted to achieve some lesson, you know, so this person, if I were to go to that person who I'm seeing and say, you know, what would you give to just being able to breathe again properly? And this person would be able to give everything for what? For this oxygen, which we don't even care about, which is all around us. But the same oxygen, when your lungs are desperate for it, then that same oxygen, you're actually happy to give your everything away. Just being able to breathe. And, yeah, you know, this is the stark reality. So this, you know, so that's why, you know, the ulama kiram, they say that actually in breathing, there are two ni'mas. To be able to inhale is one ni'mah, and to be able to exhale is the second ni'mah. So, you know, we should be thanking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he has given us the power to breathe, you know, which comes involuntarily to us. But it's not that involuntary when you are in that hospital bed affected by the infection. And that's when I guess one recognizes, but may Allah Ta'ala forbid, that might be too late for someone. Yeah. So
that's I remember the story that as you were talking there, I remember a story I've read, and I can't remember who wrote this story or who was behind it, that there was a king that someone said to him that if you were so thirsty and you could not get water anywhere, how much would you give for this glass of water? And the king said that I would give half of my kingdom for this water. And he said that, and then he went on to say to him that if this water entered your body and it couldn't leave your body because of some sort of illness that you could not, you know, discharge the water from your body, then what would you give? And he said that I would give my other half of my kingdom so that my health could be returned and I could discharge this water. And the person explained to him that everything that you've got is because of this just one glass of water. This is the value that you have. And I think we put value on wrong things and do not value the things that we are given. And because we don't put value on those blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us, we start valuing those things that other people have got. And as a result of that, we have this illness of greed inside us.
Absolutely. So I think, yeah, so that again, that's a great incident you've mentioned. And I guess in modern world, we're seeing examples of this, you know, all around us. That we are, you know, so we have forgotten even what our values are. So, you know, we just put, you know, price to everything. And we think, oh, yeah, I can buy this. And, you know, if I work this much harder, if I put this much overtime, if I do this. So I've got a price for everything. But actually, you know, so what we can, you know, with money, we might be able to buy the goods, but we won't be able to buy the health. And that's exactly what that king said. So this health we are enjoying, you know, the family, the children, you know, all these things which we, you know, which we cherish. Actually, if we think, you know, such a great name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that we should be thanking all the time. And instead, you know, we are just in this blind greed, this race of, you know, of this competition. You know, I want to have a bigger house to my next door. I need a bigger car. I need this. So we're just after that and actually not thinking that all I'm enjoying at the moment, this is more than really what I deserve. And this is great. Name of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So yeah.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah. Jazakallah, Dr. Saab. Thank you for your time. May Allah Azzawajal reward you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. Viewers of Madin Channel, MashaAllah, Dr. Khurram, MashaAllah, he gives his time today. May Allah Azzawajal reward him for all the time that he's giving to the deen as well. May Allah Azzawajal give us all the ability to sacrifice some of our time so that we can work for the deen. Viewers of Madin Channel, the topic that we are discussing today, or we tried to discuss today, has been the topic of greed. Now we're going to take a small break, inshaAllah Azzawajal. We've got the naat of the day, inshaAllah Azzawajal. Main Madina mein hoon, inshaAllah, I believe. And the naat khwan is Asif Atari, inshaAllah. Main Madina mein hoon, inshaAllah. Please listen to this, inshallah. And if you know the words, then join in with the Naat Khwan and read it at home, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Shukriya aapka sultan madine wale mujh saasi bhi hai mehman madine kameene ko madine mein bulaya tumne hey ehsaan pe ehsaan madine wale main madine mein hoon main madine mein hoon main madine mein hoon فضل خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں ہے یہ فضل خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں ہے اسی کی عطا میں مدینے میں ہوں ہے اسی کی عطا میں مدینے میں ہوں یا رسول خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں تم نے بلوا لیا مصطفیٰ میں مدینے میں ہوں ہے یہاں مصطفیٰ میں مدینے میں ہوں اپنے مہمان کو غم مدینے کا دو اپنے مہمان کو غم مدینے کا دو سرور انبیاء میں مدینے میں ہوں سرور انبیاء میں مدینے میں ہوں مدینہ ارمان ہو آپ کی دید کا میں مدینہ
جلوائے یار کا ان کے دیدار کا جلوائے یار کا ان کے دیدار کا مولا شربت پینا میں مدینے میں ہوں مولا شربت پینا میں مدینے میں ہوں میں مدینہ قدموں میں دو اپنے عطار کو ہو کرم سرورا میں مدینے میں ہوں ہو کرم سرورا میں مدینے میں ہوں
میں مدینے میں ہوں میں مدینے میں ہوں میں مدینے میں ہوں میں مدینے میں ہوں میں مدینہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. میں مدینہ میں ہوں. اللہ اللہ کرے. I pray to Allah عز و جل that we all of us can go to Medina inshallah عز و جل as soon as possible. So make a good intention that we all travel to Medina. Views of Medina channel. Today we've been talking about greed, although very, very briefly as we got distracted by other things. But there's a few things I want to mention with regards to greed. You know, greed can have different forms. So if you have a greed for long life, and you have that greed for long life that I'm going to live, I want to live longer so that I can do this, this, and this. And these things that you are doing, yeah, are no benefit to your akhirat, then that greed is not a good thing. But if you have a greed that, Ya Allah, give me a good life, give me a long life, give me a healthy life, so that, Ya Allah, I can build that madrasa, I can build that masjid. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I can get my family on their feet. Ya, I can help my poor relatives to move forward in life. I can do these things. I can build a masjid. I can do these things. Then these greed for a long life so that you can achieve good deeds is a good greed. In the same way that we need to have greed for doing good things. Greed for bad things is obviously no good for us. Greed for things that have no benefit in our akhirat, again, is no benefit for us. And with regards to greed, because time again is very short, I want to give you three sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, the people say, or any of you say, that a greedy person is more deceitful than a cruel person. But in the sight of Allah azza wa jal, no cruelty is greater than greed. And Allah azza wa jal swears by his glory and majesty upon this, that no greedy and stingy person will ever enter paradise. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, continue refraining from greed because it is greed that destroyed the previous nations. Provoke them to tell lies and they began lying. Encourage them towards cruelty and made them to start breaking ties. Astaghfirullah. Time is against me, otherwise there's so much we could say. The beautiful Madani pearls that we're getting from this particular hadith. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that two hungry wolves when set free in a flock of she-goats do not cause as much harm as the greed of wealth and status causes to one deed. Viewers of Madin channel, this is greed. Inshallah, we'll talk a little bit about, we have a few moments now, but we also have a little package that I wanted to show you with regards to the fundraising activities that Dawat Islami is doing. So can we please take this fundraising package? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It's Dawat Islami. It's arrived to rectify the people. It's all over the world.
It is the saying of the beloved and the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, sadqa locks up 70 doors of evil. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami at this moment is working in 107 departments.
It's spreading the fragrance of the love of the Prophet.
In these departments, great work is being taken place. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, let me brief you with a few departments of Dawat Islami. One of the departments is Madrasat al-Madina.
The love of the Prophet, it's all over the world.
Up to now, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, over 240,000 children have finished Nazara Quran and over 80,000 students have finished Hifz in this Madrasat al-Madina, which are taught free of charge. By this time, brothers, Dawat Islami is working in many other departments along with these departments, like working with the deaf, dumb and blind people. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is also working in prisons, also working in colleges, universities, and Alhamdulillah, wherever Dawat Islami can take the works of Deen, Dawat Islami is trying to approach and work in there. In many countries of the world, Alhamdulillah, from UK, America, Canada, South Africa, and many other parts of the world. By this time, brothers, how can you support the works of Dawat Islami? Those who can give their time towards the work of Deen, Alhamdulillah, can give time in any of these departments, try to come forward and give your time. You can support this beautiful organization of Dawat Islami through your sadaqah, through your charity, through your zakat, through donating towards this beautiful movement. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, who knows, by you donating, that little amount can help support this work of Deen reach every part and every corner of the world. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all the ability to give our charity in the way of His Deen.
Of the Prophet, it's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, just some of the works of Dawat Islami, and I think they were very, very, very briefly mentioned there. And as you can imagine, that there is so much that's going on. And we mentioned the Madrasat al-Madina here in the UK. We have over 4,000 children, alhamdulillah, that have been taught in the madrasas here in the UK as well. And alhamdulillah, also mentioned the activities of jails, alhamdulillah, here within the UK, alhamdulillah, virtually every week prior to this situation that we have now, two or three visits to the jails in which we have study circles, we visit the people that are in jails. So these are the activities that are taking place, and we can talk again all day about this. And inshallah, every day we'll talk a little bit more about some of the activities of Dawat Islami. But we were trying, and please forgive me, we were trying to talk about greed today and the problem with greed. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, I want to give you this ayat of the Quran, Surah Al-Hashr, verse 9. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and whoever is saved from the greed of his soul, it is they who are successful. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that if you can be content with what you have got. Yeah. Tiga, I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm not saying to you, okay, just sit at home and don't do anything. Yes, go out, work hard, do whatever you can, but never be greedy. Be happy, be content with what you've got. This is whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has given you as a blessing. You know, there's a beautiful thing that I want to finish with. That whatever you are going to achieve in this world, whatever rizq you are going to eat is written for you, it's pre-prescribed for you. And we're running after that. But we're not running after that thing that we've run the risk of losing, i.e. the akhirat. You know, whatever that is there for you, and you're running after it, even though it's there for you. If you are destined to make £1 million, you'll make £1 million. If you're destined to be a millionaire, you'll be a millionaire. But are you destined to be successful in the afterlife? Viewers of Madani Channel, please, continue watching Madani Channel and continue reflecting on yourselves. The whole purpose of setting up this Madani Channel is so that Muslims can think, Muslims can reflect, Muslims can make the mission of themselves that I will try and rectify myself. I will strive to rectify myself. And that is the mission statement of Dawat Islami, that I will strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world, inshallah azza wa jalla. Viewers of Madani Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine on Madani Channel. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will